Hello and welcome to the ever first episode of our podcast, Let's Talk About.
Hi there, my name is Jacqueline and I cannot wait to actually do this podcast and discuss not only with you, Wendy, but with the whole wide world, whatever comes to our minds.
Right, this is what we've been waiting for quite a while. So let's not waste time and get started.
All right. Wendy, what do you do when you're not busy for uni?
You mean like what I work?
No, rather what you do when you have free time.
Oh, well, mostly I would write. Novels and stuff, you know.
That is so cool. And what would your usual procedure be when it comes to writing? Do you listen to music or does everything have to be silent for you to focus?
That really depends. But I'm into music a lot, so yes, I would listen to music.
Music is just so relaxing, isn't it? Or let's say it can be. I mostly listen to, you know, the easygoing type, although I really do listen to a lot of genres, which are all quite different but have the same easiness. There is probably nothing that I really don't like, except for maybe metal and punk and that kind of stuff.
Well, somehow that's exactly what I listen to.
Really? Oh wow, that is so interesting. I was always wondering what that kind of music, well, does to people, like in a good way. What do you gain from that music?
I'd say just as much as you do from the genres you prefer.
Is that so?
I guess.
Right. I mean, let's for example have a look at the Beatles.
The Beatles? Well, that's rather your type of music then.
Yeah, it just had a huge impact on my childhood. I only ever listened to the Beatles until maybe 8th grade. I just started listening to them again and it got me thinking. They were a band for 10 years and they had such a huge impact, not only on me many years later, but already then they caused the so-called Beatlemania.
Haha, really? The Beatlemania?
Their concerts were accompanied by don't know how many, but many girls and women screaming. That was part of the Beatlemania. They just couldn't be stopped. It must have been crazy. Overwhelming too, but probably not in a good way.
But what exactly was the huge impact that they had on society?
Let's be fair. Before the Beatles, there was Elvis Presley, and it is not only to thank them, well, the Beatles and Elvis Presley for such a change, but also the engineers who invented recording sound, multi-track tape recorders, amplifiers, synthesizers, digital equipment, and so on. And suddenly you were able to listen to music everywhere. At home, on the radio, the CD or cassette player, and also on the go on your Walkman, etc, etc.
This is so amazing. You just can't imagine a world without technical equipment anymore, can we?
I suppose we can't. Well, all of that helped, of course. And also what's even more important is that everybody was ready for a change.
What do you mean by that?
The given situation in the 60s made it easier for them to get it on. The experimental aspects in their music made the people feel revolutionary, free and anti in some way. Let's start with some obvious stuff. The Fab Four, as the Beatles were called as well, were famous for their haircuts, cut down just like a mop.
And of course everybody got the same haircut. Was that maybe part of being a real Beatlemaniac?
Sure thing.
What else then?
Their producer had made them wear black suits after their fiasco phase in Hamburg. That was the first fashion impact that many emerging bands followed. Oasis, for instance, took them as example, or were inspired by them, and tried to follow their tour of success. And by the way, Ringo Starr's son, Zach, played the drums for them for a short while. But later on, the Beatles would change their clothes to more colorful ones, or with flowery prints, paisley suits, and as well, all the typical sandals and colored shirts that are worn in India.
But how did they reach so many?
The real breakthrough in that respect was their performance on TV on February 9, 1964 in New York. Round about 73 million people watched them perform. Imagine just that! And they also did a world tour in Europe, USA, Australia and Asia.
Wow!
Right? And did you know that they were quite so famous that Paul McCartney decided to use a pseudonym whenever they checked into a hotel?
Really? What was it then?
Paul Ramone, and you know what?
What?
Douglas Glenn Colvin, who was the bass player of the Ramones, changed his name to D.D. and later on to D.D. Ramone because of Paul McCartney's pseudonym. And as a fact, all of the Ramones band members changed their last name to Ramone.
I've always wondered why they all had that last name. Well, that's where I can lead over to the music I listen to. About 10 years later, the Ramones, the band often cited as the first band to define the punk rock sound, were formed. They started to make music because the rock and roll they loved disappeared.
Does that mean the punk rock we know today goes back to the Ramones?
Yes and no. The term punk was defined years later linked to a British subculture, but the Ramones were like the start of everything that followed.
That sounds really impressive.
Yeah. Up to today, a lot changed in the punk culture. The Ramones claim to be apolitical, and up until now, a lot of social and political beliefs are associated with punk.
Is that so? Did this evolve in the music as well, or just in the subculture?
Both. There are still bands and members who are apolitical, but most of the punks and punk bands nowadays are left-winged. Things like equality in all areas of society are important to them, as well as civil and animal rights, free thought and nonconformity. Most punk bands are against war and authorities. Anarchy plays a big role in the punk culture, as well as communism and democracy.
John Lennon must have liked that, but that was in the past, right? Do you have an example of like a modern punk band who fits those things you've just mentioned?
There is a band I like a lot. They are called Anti-Flag and formed in 1993, but they are still very active today. They are not only making music to change something in society, but they also have a lot of projects. At the beginning of the Iraq War, for example, they started the biggest national anti-war demonstration in the history of the USA, together with author Michael Moore.
Wow, this is really great. What are the other projects you mentioned?
The band was badly criticized by fans when they signed a record deal with the major label RCA, which is part of the Sony group. You know, punks are against capitalism and those big labels often sell their music to make more money with it.
Right, did they have a reason then?
Yeah, the singer of Anti-Flag, Justin Sane, said that they only signed the contract because the label agreed to let them do whatever they want. Anti-Flag wanted to reach more people and no longer be a voice in the desert.
Clever and actually a good move.
Yes. With the money they made with RCA Records, they formed a non-profit organization called Military Free Zone, which fights against the recruitment from the military at schools. After they fulfilled the contract and made two albums, they got back to an independent label. Also, a lot of the money they make is donated to different organizations like the Center for Victims of Violence and Crime in Pittsburgh. They've chosen this organization after a very tragic incident concerning bassist Chris Tu. His sister and her boyfriend were murdered back in 2007 when the band was on tour, leaving two children behind. They immediately cancelled the upcoming shows to get Chris back home to Pittsburgh where he could be with his family.
Oh no, what a tragedy. But a good thing that they in consequence support organizations which want to help people who are going through what Chris had to experience. It's a good thing that people who have that kind of impact on us non-celebrities still do good things, just like they do.
Yeah, I really think they have a good influence. The band supported a lot of protests as well. Sometimes they just participated, or else they played shows there, as for example Justin Sane did in the Auditorium Maximum in Vienna in 2009 in the course of the Austrian student protests. Or, most recently, the band performed at Occupy Wall Street, a protest against economic inequality worldwide.
Wow, it seems like they are really doing a lot to change what they think isn't as it should be.
They also regularly support political organizations like Democracy Now!, PETA, Amnesty International or Greenpeace. Last year I visited a festival at which they played a live show in the evening, but beforehand they gave an acoustic session to collect money for Amnesty International. There was a little piggy bank they passed around after the session, and nearly everyone who listened gave a little money.
That sounds like it was a lot of fun, wasn't it?
Yes, it really was. I think I can understand how it was to be part of Beatlemania back then. Part of something new and exciting in a time of change. It must have been a wonderful feeling, don't you think so?
Yeah, absolutely. And through the music, I can still feel the spirit of that revolutionary time. Music never dies.
You're so right, and I'm glad it doesn't. Well, it was great to talk to you, Jacqueline. I've learned so much about the Beatles and Beatlemania today, and I'm amazed how all the important bands have some connection. Like the thing with Didi Ramone's name, you know? The Beatles had such a big impact.
I enjoyed our conversation as well, and now I can understand what people like about music like punk rock. There is so much more than you can see on the surface. Thank you for giving me some input from a different perspective.
Thanks everyone for listening to the ever first episode from Let's Talk About.
Stay tuned for our next episode, Let's Talk About, when we will address how fashion evolved over the last century and we'll have a special guest. Until next week then, message us if you have any questions, give us a thumbs up and subscribe.